Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to the NBA Draft Day edition of Locked On Pelicans, the daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and NBA as a whole, available on iTunes, on Audio Boom, wherever podcasts are found. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter. Excited to be with you all here today. NBA draft tonight, 6:30 Central, I think is when it is all starting. And we are going to be covering a lot of that with what it relates to the Pelicans here in today's edition of Locked On Pelicans. Before we get into my second round pick big board, I've got 10 prospects. It's also up over on bourbonstreetshots.com with a little bit more details on some of these guys and talking about just second round picks in general and what the Pelicans are looking to try and do. I do want to mention I will be on WWL Radio 870 AM co-hosting double coverage with Seth Dunlap tonight. During probably the latter half of the second round of the NBA draft, from 8 to 11, you can tune in, like I said, 870 AM. Also, stream it online, WWLAMFM.com, I believe, or WWL Radio. One of those two is the station. I'll tweet out the link. That should be a lot of fun because you'll be able to call in and we can get some instant reactions to, number one, who the Pelicans pick at 40. Do they trade back up into the second round or maybe the first round to try and acquire another pick? I don't think so. I will tell you why in this podcast, though, that's for sure, too. And then be able to just give you guys instant reaction on what's probably more craziness, which is going to happen during the actual NBA draft. It's already been a little nuts in the lead up to it here, but I'm sure more stuff's going to happen as players start to come off the board and teams get a little bit nervous and maybe have an itchy trigger finger where they want to pull the trigger on someone that they want to draft. And again, we might see the landscape of the NBA changing as the Lakers have done over the past couple of days, as now the Hawks and Charlotte have done with the Dwight Howard trade. That's going to be a bit of an interesting one as well. So this should be kind of a fun situation here. So make sure to tune in to WWL Radio 870 AM during double coverage where I will be talking all things basketball. So let's talk about trading back into the draft in addition to the 40th overall pick, which the Pelicans have. And I see this pretty unlikely. And Fletcher Mackel threw it out that he just thinks, and I don't know if that's based on anyone he's talked to or if it's just kind of a gut feeling, he sees the team trading back into the latter end of the first round, maybe, you know, pick 27 or so, somewhere around there, 28, 26, something, wherever the Blazers pick in that range. And I don't see this as likely, mainly, and this is going to tie into the next thing I want to talk about, which is two-way contracts, because you're going to need to give up future assets to do so, and I don't think the Pelicans look at anyone on the back end of the first round as making an impact right away. If you need to trade a future first-rounder to get a first-rounder this year, which is kind of like, you know, a lateral move, I guess is the way to put it, that doesn't do you much good for this coming year when you're trying to win now with Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins. You'd rather trade that future first for an established NBA guy who you know is going to be able to contribute, who you will trust in key late-game situations. One of the things you don't see a lot of rookies playing, let's say, is because their coaches don't trust them to win games late, you know, in the fourth quarter or what have you. And so those guys sit on the bench, even though maybe they have more potential or talent than some of the guys out on the court. Coaches need to trust you, and that's really hard to do with rookies. So it's going to be interesting. See, I don't see the Pels moving back up into the end of the first round. Could be wrong, of course, because of that reason. The other thing is, if they want to get a guy to develop, you can do it with a two-way contract. And I've talked a little bit about this, I think it was last week or the week before on the podcast, where these two-way contracts are being introduced where they increased the roster size by two kind of for teams. and you have these two-way contracts, and each team gets two of them, where it's for a guy to spend time between the D League, and he can spend up to 45 days in the NBA and with his parent club before they need to sign him fully, and then it comes off of that two-day contract and it's or two-way contract, and it's something else. If you want to get a guy you think is dripping with potential, you don't draft him in the second round because second round picks don't qualify for this two-way contract because their minimum salary is more than that. You know, you get a guy who went undrafted maybe due to age or whatever, but you find someone who drips potential that you really like, and then you sign him to a two-way contract. That's going to be very interesting to see. You get a guy, you give him a lot of D-League time, you get him called up to the NBA when there's an injury or when there's a good situation or you're out of contention, different things. You know, this is going to be a way of the future for these guys to get into the NBA, and I can see the Pelicans taking someone undrafted, picking them up after, making calls right away to the agent. You see the same thing in the NFL, and then using him as a developmental guy with a two-way contract. See, I said the word right that time. And you pitch this guy as another guy for the future to instill hope in fans. You know, when you get this guy who's been called up and then he's going back down next year when they have their own D-League team, that's the marquee guy to kind of build some excitement with your D-League franchise around. So I think it's going to be really everything to this team to try and do something like that. And I think they'd rather spend the resources on developing a guy like that rather than drafting someone at the end of the first round who's not going to fit into this kind of profile. And who's also, before I end the segment, going to be significantly cheaper than a guy you draft in the first round. So no trading up, but I do think the Pelicans will come away with two guys they really like kind of from this draft class. One they drafted and at least one, maybe two, that they signed after the fact. Also, expect again, and this has been said by multiple people, not just me, but it's kind of the fairly obvious PR move for the team, is to pitch Cheick Diallo as the first round pick for this year. They're going to say they got him last year. They really like him. They think if he had stayed and played another year in college, he'd be a first round talent in this NBA draft, and they managed to get him. So they're going to say, you know, he was our first round pick this year in 2017, even though the team actually didn't have one. It's a spin move, and I know they really are high on Diallo, and people think maybe he can be a very good rotation player for the team next year. So it's not entirely all smoke and things like that. But certainly that's how they're going to spin it. So let's jump to my actual big board and my ranking of prospects when it comes down to it for the second round in tonight's NBA draft. All right, so I'm going to try and do this kind of quickly because, frankly, it is pouring here in New Orleans. We're about to get hit with some more rain as I'm recording this currently, and I'm, like, actually terrified I'm going to lose power in my place. So my second-round big board, and this is of guys who I think are going to be around the 40th pick. Some might not be, and I have a couple of names off of here that I don't think will be there at 40, meaning I think they're going to be probably second-round picks, but kind of go ahead of where the Pelicans are, so I didn't put them on. This is kind of 10 reasonable candidates that should be around. I'd expect maybe at least half of these guys to be around. And I didn't put reaches on there like Derek White. He's not going to be there. So I don't throw him on this list because I don't think it really matters. So my number one pick on the big board is Frank Mason, the point guard out of Kansas. He's got speed. He can get to the rim, explode over there. He's got decent passing. I think he fills a very big need for the Pels. Two is Damian Dotson, the wing player out of Houston. This dude's a court spacer. He shot 44.3% from deep last year. He has a discernible NBA skill, which is really what I'm just looking for. Give me one good skill versus talent and multiple skills that may or may not come to fruition. Damian Dotson's going to be able to shoot in the NBA, plain and simple. That's a need for the Pelicans. At three, I have Wesley Iwundu, wing out of Kansas State. Very good physical tools, a very good basketball IQ. He doesn't need the ball, and he can kind of be an efficient scorer with a low usage rate. That's kind of also what you want to see out of second-round picks. This is the guy who I think has the most room to grow. He's the highest ceiling, that oozes the most potential out of all the guys I have listed on this. Next, I have Nigel Williams-Goss, point guard out of Gonzaga. He's got very good size. He doesn't turn the ball over, and he can play in a fast-paced system, a slower-paced system, off the pick and roll. I think he's a very versatile lead guard that could be great leading a second unit. Next, I've got Edmund Sumner, the shooting guard out of Xavier. Very good size. He works off the ball as a scorer. He's cutting, and he gets to the rim and drops free throws really well, though that's a bit of concern for me at the NBA level. The other thing with him is he does not shoot the ball well at all. So you got to wonder, do you want some shooting, or do you want a guy who can maybe just work off ball as a slash scorer, which is, frankly, when you have DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis and say each one more out there, and maybe Drew Holiday, you get a kind of maybe enough shooting somewhere in there. So you need to get someone else who can maybe work off of the ball a little bit more. And that's something that Edmund Sumner is able to do. I've got Juwan Evans, guard out of Oklahoma State at 6. He ran a pro style offense there at Oklahoma State. I think that fits very well with what the Pelicans are going to be trying to do. You need a guy who's pretty smart all of a sudden with this kind of Chris Finch offense, which is going to require a lot of off ball movement and the right kind of reads. He ran a very good offense there at Oklahoma State. He's got downhill quickness to get to the rim tremendously, and he's very aggressive, which can work well with a second unit. Up next, I have Dylan Brooks, a small forward from Oregon. Again, smart guy, very high basketball IQ. He's got a lot of defensive versatility, and on offense, he can play multiple positions. He's aggressive. He's a decent shooter. You know, I worry a little bit about his size at times, but again, just get a discernible skill. Even if it's basketball IQ, get some smart players on the court. After that, you've got Monty Morris, guard out of Iowa State. Ran a pro-style offense there, similar to Juwan Evans. He's a very good passer, strong basketball IQ, meaning he's going to make the right reads with this second unit in the Pelicans offense. You kind of trust him to get people into their spots, into their sets. And that's something they really need running this second unit, because you have to figure you're going to see Tim Frazier really running point guard a lot for the Pelicans too, even when if they do or do not re-sign Drew Holiday. After him at 9, I've got Sindarius Thornwell, shooting guard out of South Carolina. Guy has great wingspan, a very strong skill set on the defensive side, very good defensive versatility, meaning he can guard multiple positions, and he was a low usage scorer, which is a perfect way to take a perfect skill set to have on a guy taken with the 40th overall pick. And finally, just because you kind of have to have him on there, I have Josh Hart, shooting guard out of Villanova, 4-year starter, one of their most decorated players of all time. He's got good size. He's a good shooter. He's a little too ball dominant for me. By a little bit, I mean he's too ball dominant for me. That's why I have him on 10. But again, his stats and his production and everything was so good in college, it's tough to leave him out. So again, running down the list in my order of things, again, guys I think will be there at 40 most likely. And I'm leaving off some really good names here, because I just think they're not going to be there at 40, so I figured let's just pick a smattering of realistic candidates here. So I've got Frank Mason at 1, Damian Dotson at 2, Wesley Iwundu at 3, Nigel Williams-Goss at 4, Edmund Sumner at 5, 6 is Juwan Evans, 7 Dylan Brooks, 8 is Monte Morris, 9 is Sindarius Thornwell, and 10 is Josh Hart. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. There you have it, my NBA draft second round big board. The guys I think the Pelicans, one of those guys will be the next New Orleans Pelican with the 40th overall pick. And keep an eye out on all the rumors breaking after the draft of who they are going to maybe take undrafted and sign to a two-way contract, because I fully expect them to come away with two players from this draft class. Don't forget also tonight during and after the draft, tune in to WWL Radio 870 AM in here in New Orleans, and also online you can stream it. I'll tweet out the link to that as well. Probably jump on Periscope, maybe Facebook Live as well while we're doing that show. It should be a lot of fun. And I will be back with you all tomorrow to break down who the Pelicans walk away with from this NBA draft. Any other news that pertains to the team, going to get your special summer Friday podcast in. Hopefully we're not going to be rained out here in New Orleans. So again, I'm your host, Jake Madison, and I'll be back with you all tomorrow.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.